wide awake. I got mad that I had been in pain for 9 years. Now I'm pain free. I can do. And most of y'all don't know what happened last night. I mean, with me. But God, through Jim, healed my hips and back. And so I said, I mean, I didn't even wait for the service to be over. I left. I went in my office. I've got some old golf clubs in there, antique golf clubs. And I'm telling you, I went and I swung. I tried to hurt myself. As hard, I could swing as hard as I could, trying to find, to make sure, devil, I may need to go back up there, because if I feel a twinge anywhere, I'm back. You know, I wasn't doubting God, I was just confirming to myself what had happened. Because I was in kind of a, you know, when you get there, you just can't, I mean, I get loopy when I get under the anointing and things start happening, I get a little bit loopy, that's why I'm, you know, rambling now. But no. But anyway, it was a great service, and it's going to be a greater one today. So I want you to stand, give honor to God's man, and I want you to give Jesus a hand clap. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. We're in the right place. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So good to see everybody here this morning. Amen. Well, it's a good day. Trust everybody's wide awake. So the next time I come to Minden, Louisiana, I am going to look on my own website to make sure of the times of the services. I've had a little bit of trouble here this weekend.
I did email you.
I know, and they're on my website. I just didn't listen. I didn't look. So now I'm going to. I'm going to for sure. So, you know, between just not knowing what time even today was. I was sure it was 10:30. And I got all messed up because over the last couple of lunches, you know, I've been kind of made fun of, and I was told it was 10, and then I was told it was 10:30, and then I was told it was 10, and I thought, no, it's 10:30. So Pastor, sure enough, you know, 10 minutes after, said, you coming? I thought, well, it's 10:30. I said, yeah, I'll be there, but I left my phone at the hotel. And he wrote back and said, well, don't hurry. So I thought, well, no, I won't, because I got plenty of time. I'm still not, it's not, service hasn't even started. And I walk in and y'all have started. And I text him, because I went to that other door there, and I text him to say, the door is locked. So anyhow, it's been very interesting. You know, when you travel as much as I do, when you get up at night, if you have to use the restroom and you can't remember what side of the bed you're on and where the restroom is, or you can't get to the service on time, that's when you need to go home. You know what I mean? So I'll be looking forward to being in my own bed tonight and get things straight. So sorry about that, but amen. It's been really, really good. We've had great times together, and the services have been good, like Pastor's been saying. I'm just so thrilled to see people getting touched and healed. And why not just see God touch and heal your body here this morning too, okay? So we're going to share some things. If you'll go to Mark chapter 5, a familiar passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 5. And I think you're going to really, really, really enjoy this morning. I am. I love talking about it. And I find it helps me every single time I talk about some of these things. Now, on purpose, you know, I haven't talked a lot about faith in years. Only, I talk about it, but just with different words. Because, quote-unquote, kind of the faith movement, people got so used to talking about faith that whenever you would bring up the faith subject, people just kind of sit down on you like, well, I already have heard that. Heard that a million times. Listen to Kenneth Hagin 100 times. Listen to this person 100 times, Kenneth Copeland. I already know that. So I just came up with different words. But this morning, you know, the truth of the matter is we're talking about faith. So, but it's going to come from a little different angle here. I think you'll really enjoy it. And it's going to fit in right to the whole flow of this weekend. So if I could really recommend anything, I don't know if they record the services, do they? But if you can get the services this weekend, the three together would be a really, really great little series. okay, that would really bless you. And you should probably get it from your church, because I'm going to get them and put them into a series, and then they'll be way more expensive. No, I'm just kidding. We really don't have expensive items on our table. It just so happens that everybody bought all the less expensive ones the last two nights. So the only ones that are on the table are the more expensive ones. So I say that kind of apologetically, but I can't apologize, because still we like, for instance, this has 84 hours on it of messages. It's $30. I know that sounds like a lot, but there's 84 messages on here. That's a lot of material that helps somebody to recognize what is reality. In other words, it's really difficult to make the kind of decisions that connect you to God when you don't know what those decisions are. What's the possibility? It's a really high possibility, just so that you know the answer. What's the possibility that the life that we live is very, very distorted and possibly not at all like God intended it for it to be? Now, it doesn't mean the part where you honor God and you love God isn't the part that's like He wanted it to be, but the rest of our life, in other words, the going and the coming and the work and the way that life is, going to the hardware store, going to the mall, going to the grocery store. What about if everything about it is man's version of life without God? Now, God will help you wherever you're at. It's just like some people would ask, you know, are you against doctors? Well, why would I be against anybody that's trying to do good to somebody? Right? Although I will say, you don't want to put your trust wholly in the medical profession, because we've seen in the last year, you know, whether you're going to get mad at me for saying this or not, I hope that it opens up your eyes. But in the last year, there has been an agenda that has come from people that are called puppet masters, or people that are Illuminati, people that are called the deep state, evil people that could care less about any one of you or myself in this room. In fact, their whole goal is called depopulation. Isn't it interesting that even the movies depict this? Like the last movie of the Avengers was called, what was it called? The what game? Oh, the end game. And what was supposed to happen with all those in the end game? Snap, and then people just disappear. What? Depopulation. They want to kill as many people as they can and start over with their own little society. I hope you understand that. And if you don't understand that, you need to wake up to the idea that there's a lot of evil going on in this world. Amen. And they really don't care about us at all. And so during this thing that's called COVID, which was there a virus? Yes, it was a virus. But was it planned? Yes, it was planned. It didn't just show up. Evil people planned this. Evil people plotted this. And they scammed this on purpose. And there's a lot of reasons we could go into as to why they did what they did. But along with this scam came protocols that were given to hospitals. And those protocols would not help you to get better. Those protocols would kill people. Got real quiet in here, but if you don't want to hear some of this, then you're kind of living in the dark. There's an agenda from Satan to take over this world, for him to sit on the abomination of desolations, which is what it'll be called, because he wants to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. His goal has been very, very, very easy to see all through the last 7 years of the human population. 7,000 years of the human population. He is against everything that is Christ. That's why it's called the Antichrist that will come in this last day. He's anti the anointing, the power of God, the very thing that caused him to lose. Why did he come against humanity? What did he really have a problem with? I mean, if there's a whole earth, why would he come against Adam and Eve in the garden? It's because of their clothes. What do you mean their clothes? They were wearing the glory. They were shining bright like Jesus on the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what they looked like if someone was seen spiritually into the spiritual world. That's why they when they lost that clothing, they looked for something to put on, because they felt naked. They were naked to the anointing, to the glory of God. Amen. I mean, we're all glad that we wear clothes for our physical body. Paul even talked about that. I'm not trying to take off my physical clothes. Thank you, Paul. But I want to be clothed with the glory, with my habitation, which is from above. And then he went on to say that my mortality, which is my skin, my body, might be, one translation said, immersed into the sea of immortality. In other words, immersed in the glory and come up shining and fully clothed so that my body no longer gets in the way of my spiritual connection to my Father. There's an anointing upon every one of us. If we don't see it, if we don't fellowship with it, the greatest reason why is because we don't recognize that it's there. For those that know that it's there, how often do you participate with the presence of God, spiritual things? And everything about the world system is set up for you to be other-minded than godly-minded. That's not a stripe against you as far as, well, you're carnally minded. Well, the whole world's set up for you to be carnally minded. You actually have to swim upstream in order to find God. I mean, it's a really good plan if you think about it. Just get man to think a different way, and then he'll create a life that has nothing to do with God. And then sooner or later, and it won't take very long, it'll be completely godless upon the face of the earth. And man won't have any reference to find his way back, and will just grow up generation after generation thinking that this is life. One time when my oldest daughter experienced something bad and she was complaining, out of my mouth, because this is kind of, you know, what you would hear if you weren't learning these kind of spiritual things. I said to her, well, welcome to life. And then all of a sudden, man, I was so convicted. I said, no, Allie, Daddy's going to take that back. I'm so sorry for saying that. What you're experiencing is not what God wants you to experience. Let's go over and experience the real life, which is God's life. For a second there, I almost trained her to think that something bad is just kind of what happens. Everything just kind of happens bad to people. No, that's the life of the flesh and the world. But the life of the Spirit and God is completely different. Amen. The reason why we come to church isn't so we can get brownie points and have stars on our shoulders and let everybody know we have perfect attendance. Amen. We have a dinner afterwards and some special cake and pie for those that have perfect attendance. No, there's not a pizza rally because we're all here today. The only reason why we're here and the number one reason why we should be here is because we can't wait to come here and tell stories and brag about Jesus, about what he's done for us. But while we're learning how to get stories and brag upon Jesus, we come to church to learn the spiritual side of life so we can begin to apply ourselves. Because if on the balance scale of life, you can be more weighty with God, then the things of the flesh and the world will start to become dim to you. They'll lose their luster. Amen. Having fun with Jesus, hearing his voice, recognizing his presence, absolutely starting to cultivate that relationship where he's just as real to you as your friends used to be a moment ago. Like Brother Hagin used to say all the time, he said, I lay in bed at night with my wife Aretha and the Holy Ghost is more real to me than she. Well, when I would repeat that, I would always say, I'm working on that with Aaron, but right now Aaron's still more real. Well, Aaron starts to travel with me more now. She's just taking a month off because we're getting ready to go with the whole family to Idaho for a wedding, one of our nieces. And so she's home, taking more time home right now. But usually she's with me, and she heard me say that. And after the service, she said to me, you know, when you say that the Holy Ghost is more real to Brother Hagin than Aretha, that's what he said. I said, that's right. And then you come back and say, well, I'm endeavoring to have that work for me for Aaron. She said, why don't you just say that the Holy Ghost is more real to you than me? And I thought, yeah, why don't I? And it's almost like her saying that to me gave me permission. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it does to me. It's almost like I felt bad making her feel like the Holy Ghost is more real to me than you. And it's like she gave me permission for the Holy Ghost to become more real to me than her. And I told her, I said, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. I said, it's like now he can become more real than even you, who is my number one person on the earth. But now he can become more real than you. Wow. That was awesome. I mean, it's almost like she laid down her life to say, because, you know, you could be selfish and say, well, you know, I don't want somebody else to be more real than, right? It's real quiet in here right now. Is everybody doing okay? Amen. Sunday morning, preacher finally got here. Amen. We're having service. Praise the Lord. That means good things are happening. Amen. Hallelujah. People are going to get healed. People are being healed right now. Amen. Someone's prostate. Some man in here, your prostate. You're going to find out within the next 24 hours that your body starts to function exactly like it should. You won't even have to question it. It's just happening right now, right in this room, right here. God's touching your body. Amen. For no other reason than He's good and He loves you. Amen. Let's go a little further in what we're talking about here today. So we've got a book out there called the Miraculous Gospel of John. It's in a leather cover here, and there's some nice gold on it. So, I mean, we made this to look really, really nice. And so that's $20 out there. It's just, but most of it's just because of how it's packaged. But, it's just because it costs a lot. I mean, we're not making a lot on this because they cost a lot when you have nice leather and stuff. But that's all about, it's a commentary to the Gospel of John. You want to study the Gospel of John, someone that was really close to Jesus and kind of gave a little bit of a different perspective than the other Gospels that helps us to see a little more intimately the relationship between Jesus and the Father. Well, that's what we do in there. And everything that Jesus says, everything that Jesus does in this book, we highlight and ask ourselves the question, why did He do it? Why did He say it? Because if He did it and said it, and He wants us to do it and say it the same way, then we can think like Him. Amen. So that's kind of what that book's about. Oh, we're over here in Mark chapter 5. Amen. I am getting to my sermon. It won't take real long. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll try to have you up before the Baptists. Amen. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had, was no better, but rather grew worse." That may sound like somebody in here today. Amen. "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But His disciples said to Him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" So, this is a wonderful passage about Jesus and the anointing that He carried, and this woman that was in dire needs. She was if you would say it like this, she was a last straw, her last hope. She had given up hope. When she heard about Jesus, she made one last ditch effort to get to Him. If you know anything about this, and this story doesn't necessarily have to revolve totally around this, I'm going to take one phrase out of this to share some things this morning. But if you know something about this, when someone had some type of a contagion, now we do know a little bit about this next word, they were quarantined. They were quarantined to a place where people that had diseases were. And they couldn't come and mix in society lest they cried out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And they wore robes and they wore garments that depicted that they were unclean. The reason they did this is so that if they were coming to a market to get some type of food or something, the people could be removed from them 6 feet. Do you know, this virus is the smartest virus in the whole entire world. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It knows that as long as you're walking to, you know, as long as you're sitting at your table, it can't touch you. But while you're walking to the table, it's fair game. It's just really smart, you know. It's so smart that it knows, you know, that you're 6 feet away from people as you stand in line to get onto the airplane. But when you sit on the airplane, you're shoulder to shoulder with people. Sorry that I got off talking about that. If someone's having a problem with it, just ask Pastor, because he asked me to come here. But I do want to say again, I'm not going to take anything back for what I said. People need to be enlightened that there is an agenda against us people, not just Americans, the whole entire world. They really don't care about us. They care about themselves. Look at the whole stimulus thing. Does that not show you something? Trillions of dollars, and yet we get measly $600 or $1,400. If you divided up the whole stimulus, we would have something like $14,000 apiece. So where's all the money going to? It's going to all their friends that will turn around and send it back to them. It's called money laundering. They're paying off the people that shut down the economy. They're paying off the organizations that did what they wanted, where they had protocol. I'm talking about someone that was a good friend of mine that died. And I told his wife, tell them to give him the hydroxychloroquine. Tell them to give him that. She said, I've told them multiple times, but they keep saying that's not our protocol. We'll make it the protocol. And you know the stories, because some of you may have some loved ones or some people that you know the same way. The last time she saw him was when she took him to the emergency room, and a month and a half later, he died, and she never saw him again. Let's just see how many people are sheep and will just do what we tell them to do, so that ultimately we can come in here and just give communism to the United States of America and rule everything. We'll get rid of the middle class. Everybody will be poor. We'll be the ones that are rich and we'll control them. Yep. Besides that, let's just give them a vaccine. They got little bugs right now that if they sting you, they'll have vaccine in those little bugs. Little mosquitoes they're making, little tiny bugs. There's all kinds of things that are happening in our society that if you don't open your heart and mind up to what's really going on, and you don't study and you just go along doing what you do, you have no idea what's being planned for our demise in the days ahead. I'm telling you, it's going to get so bad. The Bible tells us that people are going to want to run to the mountains and run to the hills and trust that you wouldn't be pregnant in those days because you wouldn't be able to go as fast as you could to get away from what's getting ready to happen. There's a lot of stuff getting ready to happen. Amen. We're living in a horrible day, and yet thank God the Holy Ghost, what we've been talking about this week, is when you're connected to Him, I'm telling you what, He'll take you right through it. You'll walk right through the midst of it just like Jesus did, and it won't touch you. Amen. We've got promises from God. We've got the Holy Spirit with us that in the days of trouble like this, we don't have to be troubled not one bit. We can just be footloose and fancy free and enjoy Jesus. And while other people, our hearts are failing them for fear and anxiety and depression, we're just as happy as a lark because Jesus is our answer. And if we go down, we don't care one bit because we're going to heaven anyhow. Man, when you see things from the right perspective, it just takes all the pressure off you and God can be real to you every single day. That's why we're here. This isn't a form of religion. We're not asking you to pass a test this morning and come up here and quote three of your favorite scriptures. Amen. This is about you opening up your heart and your mind to a God that's right here, right now, in this room, that wants to get to know you on such a personal level that He can talk with you all day long and share things with you about your future, share things with you about your success, help you to see yourself like He sees yourself so you no longer put yourself in a fleshly condition but a spiritual condition, where the presence and power of Jesus Christ works for you. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to be a believer. Amen. It is not a religion. It is a life. Amen. So thank God right here. We'll get off of that. We'll go over to this to just show you here. She said, if I may touch His clothes, I shall be well. And one of my friends traveling in the Ramus Singers and Band years ago, that was the crusade team. I was on the crusade team for 7 years to travel with Kenneth Hagin in the crusades. And we did everything. Well, when you say the crusade team, that means we drove the bus, you know, nonstop. I mean, we were on a mission to get where we were going, even the bus. You know, when someone's time was up, it was a 4-hour, you know, little shift. When their shift was up, you know, we even got good at just kind of stepping in behind them like this, and they'd step out of the seat and just keep on going, you know. And we were just going 24 hours. If we had to, we just did it all in one shot. We never stopped. We didn't get into a hotel to go. We were in the bus. You could sleep on the bus. I mean, we're the crusade team. So we're doing everything. We're setting up all the sound system. I mean, all that heavy equipment. It was just perfectly aligned in those buses. Everything went in just one perfect spot, you know. Everything was very organized. We'd get there and we'd come with a big old tractor trailer and bring all these huge book cases off that were made right there at the ministry where all of those mini books were set in just perfect places here. We had loads and loads of books that we loaded in. We did all that. We did the counting of the money, the accounting. My wife was one of the ones that did the accounting. And we worked till 11 o'clock at night and then had a full dinner and went to bed. On a full dinner, got up at 7 in the morning, did it all over again, caught our sleep in the afternoon, a nap or something in the afternoon, and then did it all over again that night. Night after night after night after night after night. Wonderful experiences. Well, one of our friends and good friends right now, real good friends of ours, are Kevin and Ann Durant. They're down in Florida, and they have a tremendous, tremendous ministry. Amazing, wonderful as a duo, as a team. He's an old Pentecostal guy, preaches like a house of fire, and she's got a healing anointing. God, you know, the Holy Ghost had Brother Hagin to have her help him many times in the healing lines, just like he did me. So we travel together a lot, and she tells this story. She was closing down the service because Brother Hagin would have her many times to set up the healing line while he was getting ready to go down there and minister. He would start it one way, not the only way, and he would turn to her and she'd come right up that Jesus heals today is through the laying on of hands. I believe that Jesus heals through, and she'd just go through some of the same things that he would do every single time. And so she said, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she said, I know that I shall be well. And she went on to set up the healing line. He went ahead and ministered to the people. And after the service was over, instead of him going back through the back door, back into what they call it, now they call it a green room. I don't know why they call it a green room, but whatever. It's just a little hospitality room. She was closing the service down, and she noticed out of the corner of her eye that he was still there. So then she said, well, amen, we'll see you tomorrow morning. You're all dismissed. And she closed the service down. She turned around, and he's still there. And this time he just motioned at her like this. And she walked up to him and said, sir, yes, sir. And he said, that's not what she said. And she said, sir, that's not what she said. She didn't say, I know I shall be well. She said, I shall be well. There's a difference. I know I shall be well. I shall be well. There's a difference. One is, I shall be someday. The other is, I shall be right now. She said, he said, make sure you say it just like she said it. And she said, yes, sir. So my question is, what comes with the responsibility of I shall be well? So for a couple of minutes here, let me just give you Brother Hagin's testimony, because these words actually were a part of what his testimony was about. Some of you may not understand. Remember, you may have not heard, but I'll just share it with you like this. As about he was always a sickly young man. They called him String Bean from Tom Bean. He was 6'2", and he was skinny as a rail. And when he got about 15 to 16 years of age, he had always had a problem with his heart that didn't beat right. He had a deformed heart. He had an incurable blood disease. And by 16 years of age, he became paralyzed from the waist down. Well, during that time, he was given a Bible. Now, this is back a long, long time ago where they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have TVs. They did have a transistor radio, but you didn't have a remote control. So you actually had to get up in order to turn it on, which means if you're paralyzed, you can't get up and turn it on. So you'd have to have grandma or mom come in here to turn it on. So in other words, he's in seclusion, and that's in McKinney, Texas. It's where he was, where he grew up. So he said someone gave him a Bible. And he looked at that Bible, and he loved that Bible. He said he hugged it, and he even kissed it because it said Holy Bible. He said he opened it up, and he looked at the table of contents, and it said Old Testament and New Testament. He said to himself, just reasoning within himself, I don't know how much time I have left, so I better not start in the old. I ought to go to the new. Now, if he's going to start in the new, somebody tell me chapter 1, verse 1 of what chapter, of what book? That's right, Matthew. He started in Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, he said back in those days, the paralysis was in his waist, but it also kind of went on the rest of his body to some degree. In the cooler months of the winter, he could turn three or four pages a day So that means he's reading two sides, you know, of the Bible, this side and that side. He's another page, this side, that side, and this side, that side, possibly another one, this side, that side of the Bible. So you can't read that much. He said, but during the summer months when it was real hot, he could only barely get one page turned a day. And he'd have to concentrate just to get his hand to be able to turn that one page. So it took him a long time to get through Matthew. Well, he got over to Mark chapter 5, and he saw Jesus said to that woman who now was healed, daughter, your faith has made you well. And he said, when he saw that it said, your faith has made you well, he said right out loud, if her faith could make her well, my faith can make me well. So he was encouraged, and he kept on reading. But it took him some time to get over to a particular passage of Scripture that if you have ever followed his ministry, you would understand where he went to, because he preached from this particular passage all the time, so much so that people thought he wrote it, but he didn't. And that's over there in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Verse 22 starts out with Jesus saying, have the faith of God. Verse 23 tells us, therefore, whatsoever, if you speak unto a mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe the things which you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. And verse 24 says, therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So he's studying this. In the midst of studying it and being encouraged, he pretty much feels like he's a believer. He believes it. Just like you may think, I know, I believe. Outwardly, he made this comment. Lord Jesus, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but if you were here in person, in the flesh, and told me personally, I don't believe, I'd have to call you a liar because I know I do believe. And when he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He heard a voice speak inside his heart these words. You believe as far as you know. The Holy Ghost wasn't saying he didn't believe, but what he was saying is, it's based on what you know. So he figured out from what was said, I need to know more. In other words, you can't believe God without revelation. This is going to fit right into what we've been talking about the last 2 days. And I'll get to it, but hang on what I just got through saying. So he was encouraged. I need to see something else that I'm not seeing that will cause my faith or my belief to be 100% accurate. In other words, I'm on my way, but it's not all the way accurate. There's something else for me to see. He said that was my first revelation. You can't believe God without knowledge. So he got back into those particular passages. Mark chapter 11, 22, have the faith of God. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, whosoever shall say with your mouth, believe with your heart, not doubt. And then he went over to Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the 24th verse. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe it. And all of a sudden he saw it. I'm trying to have my victory before I believe that I have it. In other words, he saw that me believing I have it is what will make me experience it. Versus I'm trying to have it before I actually believe that it's mine. Remember, I want to say this. What goes with the responsibility? I shall be well. That woman didn't cry out, unclean, unclean. The scripture says she came behind, in the King James, the press. That just means there were a lot of people, like this whole room. Jesus is walking, and the whole room's walking with him. Just trying to get a peek at him. Are they touching him? Well, they were touching him, but not like the woman who touched him. What do you mean? Well, the disciples, when Jesus said, who touched me, they questioned him. What do you mean, who touched you? The whole crowd is thronging you, thronging you. In other words, the whole crowd is going, man, who is this guy? And touching him. How come Jesus didn't stop for the whole crowd? Very interesting, isn't it? Do you see why we preach these things, why we say some things that might cause you to say, I don't know if I like that guy. Because I'm not really interested in whether you like me or not. I'm interested in sharing something that even if you didn't like me momentarily, you're going to take something with you that if you'll visit it later, all of a sudden it'll dawn upon your heart and you realize, my goodness, there's truth there. Because I want you to see the truth of something so that you can experience God. To experience Him once means you're going to want to experience Him again. Now, religion is going to tell you if you experience Him once, you've got the lottery. So you can't expect to win the lottery twice. Everybody knows that. If you win the lottery once, you are one special person. But not you can't win it twice. So like, don't even buy a ticket. Not knowing that every ticket God gives us is a winning ticket for every day and every second of every day. Not one experience with God, but multiple experiences. Like, when's the last time you had a good steak and then you wanted another one? Right? When's the last time you had a good piece of pie and you wanted another piece?
All the time.
All the time. My home, we're English, and English can seem to be, you know, have a real sweet tooth. It's just the way, you know, it kind of always was in my home. So if my mom made apple pie, well, not only did we have a piece at night, but the first thing I had at breakfast was apple pie. You say, oh my gosh, that's so gross. Well, that was just the way it was. So if I have a good steak, I want another one. It's kind of like asking somebody, have you ever had a good experience with the Lord? I have. And we should all be able to say we have. Because He's a real person. And you came into a relationship with a real person. Amen. I'm so thankful I didn't marry a love letter. Amen. I mean, the emojis are real nice, you know, when you're away from home and she sends something that looks like you just got kissed. That's real nice. But it's a whole lot better when you actually kiss her. Huh? I don't know if I'm talking to the right group here this morning. Some of you still haven't cracked a smile, haven't enjoyed some of the things that we're saying. Amen. It's okay. We're not coming here to say something to hurt you, even though I've said some things that might have ruffled some feathers concerning our country and some of the things that are going on. Would you rather not know that the things are going on in the country? Amen. I'd rather know what's going on. One of the reasons why I studied it is because I have three daughters. And one of them, my oldest, went away to art school. We sent her away one way, and we got her back another way. I had no idea that that liberal agenda was going to be shoved down her throat, and it was going to be impressed upon her to have to change the way she thought about things because she was white and she wasn't poor. Now, we weren't rich. But because she wasn't poor white and she was Christian, she was targeted. You're the problem. So, I mean, even when we got her back home, I mean, it took about, what, 3 weeks to get her to take a bath. Stunk to high heaven. Well, how come? Because if you dumb yourself down to look like you got nothing, people leave you alone. That's what this society is doing. Huh? And then they do that to you, and then you still got to pay $100,000 back to them. Huh. What a deal. Right? Conform them to think a particular way. Crickets. Crickets. Is everybody doing okay? All right. Let's just get back to this real quick so we can be done before the Baptists. I love the Baptists. I just grew up Baptist, and I know we were always targeting 12 o'clock to get out. So, I mean, you know, if we don't beat them, you know, they'll be the favorite place to eat before you get there. Amen. Amen. So we need to hurry up just a little bit. So what's the responsibility that comes with what? I shall be well. So Brother Hagin looked back into those verses and he looked and he said, I see it, I see it. He said that out loud. I'm trying to have it, my healing, before I believe that it's mine. And when he said that, a voice spoke to him, which was the Holy Ghost, that said, now you believe you're well. Wait. He said, I believe it. But the Holy Ghost said, you believe you're well. I want to show you this because you got to see how God sees your belief. You see your belief as an idea that you've latched onto. God sees your belief as a result that's already happened. Okay, I'll explain it to you another way. Over in the book of Matthew, Jesus was talking and he made some comments and alluded to the fact that if you've been actually imagining yourself to have adultery with somebody, it's the same thing as actually doing it. What is he saying? The power of your imagination to the spiritual world as though you just created a reality. Which would mean he'd hold you accountable for the reality that you just created in your imagination, because in heaven it's real. Okay, I'm done. Drop the mic.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
I'm telling you, being made in the image and likeness of God is a good thing, but it's a bad thing too. Having a shotgun when you're starving and there's a buck 15 feet away is a good thing. But when that same gun is in the hand of a 4-year-old pointed at a 2-year-old, it is a bad thing. Because you can create the wrong reality too. I know people don't like to hear it like this, but it's nonetheless true. I remember Brother Hagin used to say it for years and years. If you don't like where you're at today, go back to checking up on what you've been believing and what you've been speaking, because you created it yourself.
There you go.
People say all the time, well, I don't know if I like that name it and claim it stuff. So we'll just look at your life. You've been naming and claiming that, oh, it looks like I'm going to get sick. And what happens? You always get sick. Doesn't look like I'm going to get better any fast. And you never get better any fast. Those kind of people, all you got to do is say, well, then let me tell you this. If you don't like the name it and claim it, you don't believe there's anything to the fact that your words actually, the words, now listen carefully. The words that actually move you will create realities. The words that don't move you won't create a thing. But here's the problem. If you say words that don't move you enough, sooner or later, they'll move you.
That's right.
Boy, that thing's killing me. That thing's killing me. Somebody would say, oh my God, don't say something like that. Well, if it doesn't move you, if you're just saying it as a saying, it's not going to do anything. But if your whole life you end up saying it, sooner or later, you might believe that thing's killing me. And the moment you believe it's killing you, that's when it kills you. So all you got to do is get those same people that want to give you heck for that kind of a thought and say, all right, if your words don't mean anything, for the next month, every single day, 15 times a day, say, I'm the next person in my family that'll get cancer. And they'll say, well, I'm not going to say that. Well, why? I thought your words don't mean anything. He said, I see it. I have to believe that it's mine before I see it. And the moment he said that, the Holy Ghost said, now you believe you're well. And out of his mouth he said, that's right, I believe I'm well. And the next thing the Holy Ghost said is, well, people ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning. I always used that with my girls when they were growing up. If they were sleeping in, I'd come and say, hey, well, people ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning. That's what God said. Amen. They'd be like, Dad, leave me alone. It's 11. You know, I still got to sleep. I got an hour to sleep till 12. Well, people ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning. That's what the Holy Ghost said. Come on, think about this. When he began to see it, when he first believed, the Holy Ghost said, well, you believe as far as you know. And then he saw where he was missing it. And the moment he saw, notice, please notice this. The moment he saw where he was missing it, boom, the Holy Ghost spoke. Which means the very moment you see something accurately, if the TV ain't on, if you're not looking at Facebook or social media, if you don't have somebody screaming in your ears, but maybe you're out in the woods just walking around, the moment you see it, you'll hear the Holy Ghost say, now you believe you're well. And when you respond to him, that's right, I do, I believe I'm well. Then you'll hear him also encourage you to experience the way that God sees the moment that you're well in heaven. You've got the whole thing, baby.
Ooh, amen.
And if heaven sees that you're completely well, because that's what well means when you believe that you're well, then heaven doesn't want you to waste one single moment being in a bed with a deformed heart, incurable blood disease, or paralysis. Heaven wants you to immediately experience it. Well, brother, was there a special anointing there that day? Were there gifts of the Spirit there that day? No, it was just simple faith and God. Like, you know, we've lost sight of the fact that just simple faith and God can get you out of everything. We need a special whooping it up. I'll tell you what, we need 15 ministers to come together with all of their different empowerments and giftings in order to, and we need to stand there like Karate Kid and just do war in order to get it to happen. Just simple faith and God. I see it. Now you believe. I do believe. People ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning. And the first thought that came to him was, how does a paralyzed person get up? He said, so he pushed himself to a seated position, pushed his legs over the bed. They hit like chunks of wood to the floor because there's nothing in them, you know. And he grabbed a hold of the bedpost and held onto it with dear life. And as he's holding onto it, he just said out loud, I thank God I am well. And in the presence of Almighty God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the devil and all his angels, and any evil spirits that may be present, I thank God I received my healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. He said somewhere in there he felt like it was a little bit of honey hit him in the top of the head, begin to ooze over the side of his face. And the next thing he noticed, he's looking down at the floor and his legs are actually holding his body and he's straight for the first time in his life. First time since he's had that paralysis. What does it mean to be well? Wow, this is really, 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 really interesting. Because your perspective on everything is what changes it all. God doesn't change. It's your perspective. For instance, we were on our way to a Wednesday night service, and I was thinking about some of these things, so I thought, I want to mess with my wife a little bit, you know, see if I can't get something out of her. She's sitting in the seat next to me, and she's on her phone and all like this, and I'm about a half a mile, I can see it. A half a mile, we're coming from a little bit more of a higher elevation like this down to where the main Memorial Street was. It had a four-lane street there, and there's a stoplight on the corner. There's a Walgreens. And so I'm a half a mile away, and I say, oh, hey, hon, I'm going to stop by at Walgreens. We got plenty of time before the service starts because I actually knew what time that service started. Yeah. Amen. And so I said, we got plenty of time. I'm going to pull into the pharmacy and get your prescription. And she's on her phone, and she says, huh? And I said, I'm going to pull in and get your prescription at Walgreens. And now she put her phone down. She said, what prescription? I said, what do you mean, what prescription? You know what prescription. I said, it's your insulin. She said, wait a minute. My what? I said, hon, I said, it's for your diabetes. You know. I said, I ordered it again so that you wouldn't be out. Now she puts her phone down. She says, what in the world are you talking about? I don't have diabetes. Why in the world would I need insulin? And I said, that's all I needed to hear. Thank you very much. She says, oh my gosh, what are you doing? I said, I just wanted to know what an individual who realized they didn't have what someone was telling they had and that they were supposed to take something for something they knew they didn't have, how they would respond. And I just got your response. Of course I'm not taking that. I don't have that. Why would I need that? I said, thank you. You helped me very much. She said, oh, my God, you're so weird, and went right back to her phone. Because remember, it's a matter of perspective. Perspective, right? She realized, I don't have that. Why would I take that? Now you believe you're well. How does a well person get up at 10:30 in the morning? See, it's about how you see it. Because the way God sees it is only 100% all the time. The moment somebody connects to something that he has given you the right to have, and you believe that it's now yours in heaven, the whole thing's done. Now, wait a minute, stop right there, because someone's going to say, well, I believe I received my healing, but I'm waiting on the manifestation. That came from the devil. There's only one guy that would love for you to wait and wait and wait and wait for the manifestation of what the moment you believed God for, you could actually experience instantly. And that would be the devil. And he would encourage you, that's right, you're such a good believer. Keep on waiting for that manifestation. You know it's going to come. That's not what she said. Excuse me, sir? That's not what she said. She didn't say, I know I shall be well. She said, I shall be well. What's the responsibility of well? Turn over to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 5. Are you getting this? Now we tie this in. We said a little bit about this the other day, but we tie this in right now with what we've been doing. And this is the number one reason why we've got people spinning in circles. Because they're not paying attention to the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why it's so important for you to understand you. It's really hard to understand you. Why? Because we don't always want to open up every box. Because not every box, every door looks good. Sometimes there's skeletons in those boxes, in those doors. Well, brother, I'm forgiven. I know. You are forgiven. But how do you do life? Because how you do life is how you'll do faith. And if your faith isn't working, it usually always does go back to how you do life. In other words, your perspective on the choices that you make. One young girl had Crohn's disease, and I was going to pray for her, and I knew she'd be instantly healed. So I asked her a question. I said, for some reason, I have this little check inside of me, and I have to ask you this question. When you go to school, she's 16 years of age, I said, when you go to school and you start reading a book, do you ever finish it? And she goes, oh, no, I never finish books. I said, well, that might be a problem. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's very possible you won't finish this healing either. I said, so what I'm going to say is this, you will be healed, but then if you really want it to be yours, you're probably going to have to put yourself in a position. Again, it goes back to what A.W. Tozier said, real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position and you can't go back. And so now you're out there. Ha! You know, I didn't date a lot when I was in, we lived way out in the country, so I could never be around all the kids. And I was young for my grade, like a year younger in my grade. And so it wasn't until I was a senior I could even drive. And then, of course, I was a good Christian, you know, so I wasn't going to do all the things that everybody else did. So, you know, it doesn't make for a lot of dates or anything. And then I couldn't shut my mouth, you know. So that's why I never usually got a second date. He said, what do you mean? Well, I'd go out, you know, with somebody, and just within a few minutes, you know, I'd be asking them, you know, going right back to the Roman road. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. None are righteous, no, not one. You know, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. The heart man believes unto righteousness, confession is made out of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Man, it'd be real fun to go out and see, you know, go out next week too. Well, I don't think we're going to go out next week. And I just could never get it, you know. So I always put myself in that position, which when if you put yourself in that position, you can't go back on God, which means you can't go forward in sin. So it was a great way for me to not get messed up and do all kinds of things I'd regret later. That makes sense? Well, it's just like A.W. Tozier said, real faith where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back. And that's exactly what faith really is. Once you connect with God in your heart, there is a witness to your heart that you're even connected. Listen, if you take the Holy Ghost off of the package and then do all the things that someone else does with the Holy Ghost, you won't have an answer. But that's what Brother Hagin said. That's how many times he said it. I know, but he's saying it at the same time. There is a witness in his heart because the Holy Ghost is involved. That's what makes it real. Look in this passage right here, because you could look at this intellectually and it won't work. But if you look at this spiritually, it will. It says in chapter 5, 14 and 15, and we're almost done. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Notice what it says. The confidence we have what? In Him. In Him. In a person. We have confidence in a person. Amen. How many of you have ever done something where you had to have confidence in a friend? Confidence in a loved one? Confidence in a parent? Confidence in a grandparent? Amen. Confidence in a teacher? Right? Yep. This is the confidence we have what? In Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, just for a second, what does it look like when God hears you? Okay, there was a whole bunch of people that were again mobbing Jesus. And there was a man that was blind and he was sitting over on the side and he grabbed somebody and said, "What's going on? What's going on? There's a crowd. Why is there a crowd? I'm hearing so many things." The man said, "Oh, it's Jesus, that Jesus from Nazareth, you know. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Jesus is here?" And he began to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now he can't see whether Jesus hears him to see that he heard me. He stopped. He can't see it. He can only go by hearing. And when he said that, someone said, "Stop it. Stop crying out." And he cried out the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And three times he did that. And all of a sudden someone said, "Hey, the master's calling you." He couldn't see. But when Jesus heard him, he stopped. And then what did he do? He motioned for him to come to him. If you ask anything that's his will, he hears you. What does it mean? The moment Jesus hears you, he's getting involved with you. If God gets involved with anybody in that book, it always turns out to be what we call miracles. Now I got to say that again because we only had two people that actually enjoyed that. The rest of you are still... Okay? When God gets involved in anything in this book... Okay, if you were from another country, you've never heard anything about the Christian message, and someone gave you a Bible and just said, "Just read it." When you were done with it, you would at least come away with the idea that if I can have some type of connection to that God that everybody else had in that book, something amazing can happen in my life. I've seen people be healed. I've seen people be ready to be destroyed that were set free. I've seen lions that were ready to devour that all of a sudden their mouths were shut and angels came. I saw people thrown into a fire and it didn't even burn them and there wasn't a smell of smoke on them. I've seen people that were hungry and just with a little boy's lunch feed 10,000 people and 12 baskets full were left over. I saw men walk on the water. I saw men raised from the dead. If I can just touch the hem of that God that's in that book, my life will be changed forever. Amen. What happens when he hears you? He's getting involved. Woo! And if God gets involved, baby, I tell you what, the cancer cell will die. It won't live any longer. The hip will be restored. The eye will begin to see. Praise God in that disease, no matter what it is. And what alphabet is used to describe it will leave and disappear.
That's right. Amen, amen, amen.
Whether it's an M, S, or a C, F, X, Y, Z, it'll leave. So look at what this says right here. My confidence is in Him, that if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. What does that mean? He's getting involved. And if we know that He hears us. That word "know" doesn't just intellectually mean, "Oh, I know He hears me because I know I'm praying according to the Word of God." That "know" carries with it the idea of perception. A conceiving of something. In other words, it carries with it the idea of God is giving you witness. What I just prayed, He heard me. He heard, I'm feeling Him right now. I'm feeling Him right now. Why am I feeling Him right now? Because anything I ask, according to His will, He's getting involved. When God starts getting involved, your feeler starts feeling something that it hadn't been feeling before. Your knower starts knowing something that hadn't been known before. There's a perception about your life that everything's just going to be all right. Come on, have you ever been around somebody and you were fretting about something? Maybe it was your mom or dad when you were real young, and dad said, honey, everything's just going to be all right. You walked away saying, daddy said it's going to be fine. Daddy said it's going to be fine. And all of a sudden you got yourself just this little tiny walk because daddy said it's going to be fine. Huh? Have you ever felt something like that? Huh? You ever been fearful about something because you were lost in the middle of a crowd at the fair and you were crying out, dad, dad, and you heard, Jimmy? And as soon as you heard his voice, you knew he was right there and everything was okay. Even though you still couldn't see him yet, everything's just okay. It's that knowing, that perception that he heard me and he responded to me that lifts your spirit. I'm not just doing this in my mind. I'm doing this out of my heart. Come on, what about that day you asked Jesus to become the Lord of your life? Whether you saw angels, whether you ascended into the heavenly realm, or the moment you just called on His name, something inside of you just knew, God just touched my life. That's the same witness. That's the same moving of the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't have to stay like that. It can get bigger and bigger and bigger till it overwhelms you. And the world is too late at that point to tell you anything that God hadn't told you to be true. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Come on, let's close this thought out right here. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. Doesn't that sound just like the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God? Or the Holy Spirit in the Passion Translation of Romans 8:16 makes God's fatherhood real to us as He whispers into our innermost being. How about the Amplified that says the Spirit Himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And the Message Bible says, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us. We know. In other words, we have a perception. We have a witness. There's something in us that says, I just got my healing, and I know it's mine. Praise the Lord. Now I'm stepping out to experience it. Yeah. This is the faith message. Everybody always runs back to faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, and you make it a work. I just got to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. How long did it take you to get 2 plus 2 equals 4? Well, what's 2 plus 2? 4. Well, you got to keep working it. What do you mean? Keep hearing it. Okay, 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 equals 4. I'm getting it right every time, aren't I? Yes, but you got to keep hearing it in order to get it. I thought I got it. That's what the equal sign's for. I mean, if I kept saying 2 plus 2 equals 2, 2 plus 2 equals 3, 2 plus 2 equals 5, then you could say, keep getting it, you're almost there. And someday I'd say 2 plus 2 equals 4. Yes, the buzzer went off and said, now you've got it. But if the very first time I looked at it and said, there's two apples, 1, 2, there's two more apples, count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 plus 2 is what? 4. The very first time I get it means I got it forever. One translation said, now faith is awakened by hearing God's voice. I like that. Folks, in just a second here, if any of you need healing in your body, some type of just freedom to your soul, we're going to ask you to come on down here and God's going to touch you. That presence is here. Yeah. I'll help you today to make that connection with Him. But if you're ready to be well, then you also should be excited to assume the responsibility of what comes with well. What comes with well is, okay, now start to do what you couldn't do. Now go ahead and go. Now go ahead and do that. And then don't do that, because now you can do this. And that's how God sees it. Somehow or another, we lost this. We became full of doctrine. We became enamored with our information. It's kind of like the Pharisees. They had all kinds of information, but they missed God. This morning, we're not going to miss Him. If you need healing in your body and you're ready to be well, because that's what you believe, why don't you make your way up here and let's let God touch this morning. We'll be done with the service. We'll rejoice with people that have been set free and touched in the wonderful name of Jesus.